an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents A Voice of Truth and Inspiration, broadcasting on frequencies of love, laughter, and understanding, illuminating new paths to a more fulfilled way of being as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a higher understanding of ourselves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, New York Times bestseller, Danny and Brinkley, and now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Happy Super Bowl week. You know, I've been wished happy Super Bowl weekend all weekend, which is interesting. And I was thinking, what is this happy Super Bowl weekend? What am I supposed to do except maybe stand in front of a really big TV or sit in front of a really big TV, drink some beer, eat some chips, and watch a game? But it's become something that so many of us do, and it's so many of us get excited about that so many people are wishing them each other a happy Super Bowl weekend. So I hope you're having a happy Super Bowl week. You know, speaking of so many of us, there were over 90-something million people watching the Super Bowl this weekend, close to 100 million people. And it's interesting how a lot of people are saying that energy is something. Well, here is something where 100 million people are gathered together watching something. I think one of these days it'll be interesting, instead of spending a whole minute or a whole 30 seconds putting energy on a food product or a drink product, an alcohol product, wonder if we could put 30 seconds or a whole minute during an event like that where 100 million people are watching on something that could actually change the world. I mean, not that a drink can't change the world, but maybe there's something else that also can change the world. For the better, of course. Anyway, talk about changing the world for the better. Changing my world would have been interesting years ago. I'm actually in the process of writing my second book. And those of you who have been following me or Life Changes might be wondering, second book, where's the first one? Well, I finished the first one, and agents are saying that it would make a great second book. So now I have to write the first one. And it's taking me a long process, because this second book, which will actually be the first book, is so much more personal. And after every sentence, I think, oh, do I really want to say that? Oh, do I really want people to know that? And the answer is probably yes. But invariably, it's taking me longer to do that. But it's also taking me a long time because I'm not a fast typist. And I was thinking back on my high school days when, I might be dating myself a little bit here, I took typing in high school. I actually took typing in high school for one day. Now, either I had a premonition that this was going to be important, or I'm not sure, but I was the only male in my typing class because the students were learning how to be, at the time, quote-unquote, secretaries. And so a lot of people said to me, are you going to be a secretary? Because that's the only reason you will need a typing class. And you know, I wasn't planning on being a secretary, but for some reason I thought taking typing was important. But I succumbed to peer pressure, and maybe some not so peer pressure, like maybe my parents, and I dropped out of typing class. And looking back, it probably would have been the single most important class I could have taken in high school, and it would have changed my life. That and a speed reading course. But anyway, so I'm thinking, how many of us today are succumbing to peer pressure about things that we know are important to us or think might be important to us or might not even know or think, but just are going with the flow? I mean, certainly our guest today, had he succumbed to peer pressure, he wouldn't be telling his story. And just wait till we talk about just that. And how many lives has he changed because of sharing his story? Maybe he might have thought, oh, some people might think I'm crazy. Some people might think this is not true. But he has told his story nonetheless and changed a lot of lives because of it. So I hope none of us succumb to peer pressure, especially when peer pressure is obviously wrong. So we'll come back with our guest, Danyon Brinkley, right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. Ironway's ionizers produce a superabundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an Ironway's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. Ironway's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about Ironway's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
I am so excited about our guest today. He is the New York Times best-selling author of Saved by the Light, which spent 26 weeks on the New York Times bestsellers list. It was also made into a made-for-television movie by the Fox Network. And that has been seen by tens of millions of people in 30 countries, in over 30 countries, since 1995. To this day, it remains the highest-rated made-for-TV movie in Fox's history. He also wrote At Peace with the Light, and had just finished a book with his wife, Catherine, The Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven. From The Oprah Show to The Larry King Show Live, Lifetime, Discovery, Coast to Coast, he's a very busy man, and we are so happy that he took time to spend time with us here at Life Changes. We welcome to the show Danyon Brinkley. And I, sir, am going to get one of those hugs you're so famous for.
And I'm going to be happy to give it to you.
Thank you so much. You know, it was fun watching you dance back there to a song that I wrote. And you look great, by the way.
It was a fabulous song. And I took typing in high school.
You did?
And I didn't drop out of the class. And the reason I took typing in high school is the typing teacher was absolutely beautiful.
Wow.
I didn't know I was into older women until I saw the typing teacher.
Oh, I was about to say my teacher was older, but evidently.
I still failed, but nonetheless.
You know, it's funny. You were asking earlier how you look. You look great.
Well, you know, when I was comparing myself to you, it was a,
oh, stop.
I had to check and make sure.
You know, it's funny because I was expecting to be interviewing you on radio over the phone because I thought you would be out of town, as originally did you. And then when I heard a couple hours ago that you were in town and that I could run over and we could do this.
Well, thanks to Peggy and her husband.
Yes, thanks to Peggy O'Neill and her husband. This is perfect. But the point was is that as I left the house, I thought, I didn't get to shower or to shave right.
You look fabulous.
Well, but that's just the thing. I thought of something that you said. You said, Filippo, something like that. I don't care. I died a couple times. Do you think I care about those things?
No. People have to put stuff into perspective. You know, we're always not putting things into perspective. And I always compare things to this. When people say, well, Danyon, this and that, and I always say this, well, what are they going to do? Kill me?
Mm.
Because when you have that as a basis to take a look at what's going on in your life, and you have what you can go through in looking at that, it changes your perspective about things that people think is important. Life is important. Trivia is not important. Mm. You know, and we have to learn that. I always want to look nice because when you tell a story, people are always studying everything about you.
Mm.
And I guess it's vanity too. But, you know, you want to look nice. You want to look presentable. And you look presentable. I'm sorry you didn't get to take a shower. I just did a 2-hour radio show and walked in. But, you know, it's important that people begin to do just what you said. if 100 million people watched a football game and a billion people watched the World Cup,
right?
A billion people, if we could get them to focus on one issue, making war unthinkable, that war must be thought unthinkable, then we would have begun to truly transform consciousness. One day I never believed anything about spirituality. I thought it was nonsense. The next day I was dead. The day after that I became everything I never believed. Mm. So in telling my story, it was never difficult because I was a combat Marine. I grew up as a tough guy, you know, and I dealt with things very easily. I knocked the first one out. And then the rest of them paid a lot of attention to me while I was talking to them. Or I shot the first one. And so my mindset shifted, but I saw a shift in consciousness that I had no ability to grip. I had nothing. I grew up in the fundamentalist South. Everybody goes to hell where I come from. And this is that mindset. Well, I've been over there three times and I haven't been to hell yet. So they pretty much missed their shot at me. And I can promise you this, Filippo, if I didn't go to hell, most people you know are not going. Mm. So then what does it all get to be about? It gets to be about what is the meaning of life? And why have we chosen to be here? And why have we chosen to live this life? And what goals do we set? You know, and this is where it came about. And the other part of what you were talking about was this. I met Dr. Raymond Moody. He was a medical student at the university hospital where they brought me in after being struck by lightning. The paper said, patient unconscious, patient not breathing, no EKG.
Now, this is the first time.
Yeah, when I was struck by lightning, dead for 28 minutes, completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. But it says in the admission slip into the intensive care, into the admitting, patient unconscious, patient not breathing, no EKG. Well, if you're unconscious, you're not breathing, and you have no heartbeat. And for then, it'd probably been about 27 or 8 minutes. And I met Raymond Moody. But I had this experience before it had a name. Dr. Moody had not coined the phrase, the near-death
experience, right.
So I had to live a year and a half with trying to understand what it was. Multidimensional realities, lifting out of my body, watching the world around me, watching the dynamics of what happens when you think things are solid at one point in your life and then realizing nothing is solid. Okay, I didn't know quantum physics in 1975. And I love the South, but it's no place to get spiritual. In 1975 either.
Okay.
And so I had to begin there. And I had to transform my own consciousness to keep from going insane. Because when you go through an experience that is as wondrous and is as sensuous and as well organized and as so perfectly in order, as opposed to you're going to hell and you don't ever know, and it's the unknown, and you're going to be damned. And since I was 5 years old, based on the personality I had, everyone was telling me I was going to hell. So I was trying to get to the end of the tunnel to see what Satan looked like, but I never saw Satan. So you have to start to look at it. And when you were complimenting about people don't tell their story, I didn't care. I saw a world that made what every religion was describing lunacy. And what fundamentalism in the South and all the stuff that I heard, these people were crazy. And you have to look at it from a point then of what do you do? And then I met Raymond, this brilliant, brilliant doctor. And I realized that most of his friends had been dead like 3,000 years. Plato and Aristotle and Nostradamus and, you know, all his friends had been dead for thousands of years. So he asked the right questions, and there began the trek of who Daniel Brinkley was. 14 years later, I had to have open heart surgery from damage to from being struck by lightning. I had a second near-death experience. And 7 years after that, I had to have brain surgery. Hmm. And I spent 3 hours in brain surgery and 41 hours in recovery. And I had a third. So in my 60 years, I've had five surgeries. Three of them had near-death experiences to them. And because I'm so obsessive-compulsive and anal-retentive, I decided that death was what I was going to study. I was going to be the world's leading authority on death. So I became a hospice volunteer.
Yes.
And I've been a hospice volunteer now for 34 years.
And for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours.
More than 27,000 hours.
I meant hundreds of patients and thousands, tens of thousands of hours.
Tens of thousands, over 400 taking their last breath, and more than 1,800 within hours and passing. With Sean, the guy that's come to mentor onto me, Sean Murphy, in the last month and a half, we have lost 26 friends. We've been at the bedside, developed relationships with 26 friends, people who become our friends. And we've been a part of six suicides of guys who've served in the military, none of them over 30 years old.
Wow.
So 34 years and 27,000 hours. There's not much about what we call death that I don't know. From a medical standpoint, from a logistical standpoint, from the processes nature of it, and from what's next. And so I created the Twilight Brigade.
And I was, it's on my notes to ask you about the Twilight Brigade.
I'm sorry, because I'm missing
you see, it's down here. No, I'm just kidding. But before we get to
just so overwhelmingly charmed how nice you look on, babe.
You are so funny. You know, as a matter of fact, the last time I saw you, we had a near interview experience.
Near interview encounter.
Because we were scheduled for an interview, and then you got called by a huge celebrity whose name we won't say, and then you had to run and do that, and you said to me, it's not that he's more important. It's just that one I won't be able to reschedule because they were having a crisis. But I know you're going to be around. And you gave me this big hug, and I thought, I've never been turned down so gentlemanly-like. And so I felt happy about being turned down and that you were helping somebody in their crisis.
Well, I appreciate that. I celebrate life. My mission in life is to reduce the fear of death because we are so driven by religions, institutions, and governments to be afraid. We're so always taught that we're poor, pitiful, stupid humans trying to have a spiritual or a human experience when this is utter nonsense. We are great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings with dignity, direction, and purpose trying to have a human experience. And because we're taught just the opposite, we're cutting down trees so we can raise cattle in the Amazon rainforest, which is where most of the medicines come from and where most of the air that we breathe comes from, so we can grow cows, so we can feed people beef. Now, to a person that's usually logical, that sounds crazy. To a person who's been dead, that's insane. That's insane. And what we're doing in the name of honor, wars, there are no winners in wars. Because the damage done psychologically to most people, which sometimes doesn't appear for years, makes it not worth it. So my wife came up, Catherine came up with this concept that war must be thought unthinkable. And since I live around veterans, it's become a mantra now. It has to be thought of, and we have to turn our mindsets away from it. And the other thing is, too, if no one ever really dies, Filippo, then everything is just about life.
Hmm.
If no one's going to die, the first thing you have to learn is forever is a whole lot longer than you ever thought.
Oh, wow.
And you're going to be you forever.
Wow.
And once you wrap your consciousness around that, then you start to really look inward to see who you are, what your purpose is, and what direction you choose to take and why you choose to take that. I don't want people to be afraid of death, and I want them to empower life, and I don't want them to be frightened into believing there's something other than being magnificent. So I started telling my story.
Hmm.
I started telling it because, and I know I'm doing all the talking.
And I'm doing all the listening. We all are.
I'm going to be quiet and let you ask a question.
No, you're taking the questions out of my head. So there shouldn't be any crying around it?
Around what?
Death.
Well, we have a natural process of grief and bereavement.
Okay.
Because there is the sense of being left, deserted, abandoned.
Well, that's our selfishness, then.
That's all. I wasn't going to say that.
Oh, I read your mind this time.
I wasn't going to say that. That's where that comes from.
Really?
As a natural
process. It's our ego.
It's exactly selfishness. Hmm. How can you celebrate someone going home? You celebrate. How can you be sad? You celebrate the life. You will see them again, I swear to everybody.
Hmm.
This is not the last time you see them. What you see is selfishness about people being abandoned and left and lost. And what you see is children so desperate to keep them that they will allow any kind of health care to be administered to a person that came here leaving this world.
Mm.
70 cents of every dollar in health care is spent in the last 6 months of life to extend life an average of 16 days.
Wow.
So do you think there will be death panels?
Wow.
If you think the President Obama's health care plan is going to be a success with 70 cents of every dollar in health care spent in the last 6 months of life, and you think that they're not going to look at a way to cut that, think of this. Who is the enforcement arm in the new health care plan? Who has been given the charge to enforce that people buy health care insurance? The Internal Revenue Service.
Interesting.
So if you want to go from cradle to the grave and you want to commingle your health care data with any other agency that guarantees you pay and who knows how much money you make and where you make it and where you put it, why not the Internal Revenue Service? That is the enforcer of the health care bill. Still driving that fear factor. I want people to not be afraid. Why? It empowers them in their life. It makes them not afraid. It makes them stand up. It makes them ask the right questions. It makes them look at this life as the rarest privilege they'll get as a spiritual being. And when you see that, aren't we supposed to cry? It should be tears of joy.
Mm.
You celebrated a life well lived, and you get to go home to the divine. You get to return to the source of what it's like. People say, well, we don't know what it's like. I know what it's like. You lift out of your body. You let that breath out. And you pulse. You don't breathe anymore. You pulse. You occupy all the space that's around you. It's a part of you and you are a part of it.
Mm.
You know this place better than you've ever known any place you have ever been. You're comfortable. It's like being held in your mother's arms. Like when you're 5 years old and you cut your foot and your mom comes out and picks you up. That's the feeling.
Hmm.
You watch what's going on around. The thing that amazes you the most about it is you see through everything. Nothing is real or solid.
Hmm.
Now, because of quantum physics, we know there is no real or solid anything.
Hmm.
But in 1975, it was always amazing me how I could see through everybody. And they were just brilliant colors and brilliant lights and brilliant energetic movements, most beautiful color patterns weaving in and out of the conversations between the people working on me and the paramedics. It took me like 15 years to find it in quantum physics that there is no solid object. if you take an atom and you look at it under an electron microscope,
right.
It's 94.6% empty space.
Right.
So what does that tell you? No one has ever left heaven. Only 5% of physical reality. Physical reality will never be more than 5%.
Wow. You mentioned something about being 5 years old, and though this analogy could never equal the experience, but I was thinking of how for Halloween, I used to get hand-me-down costumes. And then as I grew out of them, sometimes I'd still have to wear them because my parents didn't feel like they had the money to go out and buy bigger costumes. So after trick-or-treating in a costume that was 2 times smaller than I should have had, you know, shoes or what have you, when you finally take that off, it's like, oh, you feel liberated. You can be yourself again. And that's the image that I got.
That's exactly. The first thing you'll think when you lift out of your body and you look down and you see that lump that you've been wearing around for
that costume, yeah.
The first thing you'll think is, what in the world was I thinking? The first thing I always thought was, God must have just invented Napa Valley about the same time that they convinced me into getting into that thing.
Because in Napa Valley there's all the wine, is that
exactly.
It?
Okay. That's the only way you would do it. But the reason is this, you choose to come to this world and you're chosen to come. And the most important, I always put it first that you choose to come because people think they're important.
Mm.
But what's really important is that you're chosen. The divine architect believes there is no one greater than you to be born at the exact moment that you were born, in the family dynamic that you're born in the place in the world that you're born in, at the exact second and the exact hospital. There is no one greater than you.
Mm.
That you being you, living as a dynamic spiritual being, that they can move divine power from their world through you into this world.
Mm.
That is the art of why you choose to come here, because you become the co-creator, that through your hearts and your prayers and your focus and your intent, it's never what you do, it's why you do it. That in your intent as a co-creator, gardens of Eden can be created. Beautiful ways that the divine can move into physical form and actions become in physical form. And then you choose to come. Why? You see opportunities to create impossible problems to overcome. A great, powerful, and mighty spiritual being, Felipe, is a little arrogant. They think there's nothing that they can get into that they can't figure out how to get out of. So okay. When you start to look at your whole life to see how it got so crazy, you did it. Why? Because you think you can create something that you can't get out of. Think of my obsession. I keep thinking I can't get up from the dead. So every 10 to 12 years, somehow I kill myself just to see if I can still do it.
Right.
And I kill myself stylishly.
I hope you're done with that for a while.
Well, I'm taking a little break.
Well, actually, speaking about taking a little break, we're going to take a little break right now. And when we come back, I have an interesting question for you. Of course, I happen to think all my questions are interesting, but that'll come after the break.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio, and tonight's special guest, New York Times bestselling author, Danian Brinkley. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Marielle Hemingway, Barnett Bain, and Marcy Shymoff on our archive page at the website lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Remember, you can also connect with us not only through our website, but also on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo, and very soon on our own Life Changes Network community, where real people will come together to share real life in real time. And now back to Filippo.
You know, it's interesting. I'm just starting to get in touch with certain aspects of my being where I think I might see things or feel things. And I remember being at a party and seeing one of my cousins, and he was in his 80s, and I thought, wow, he's ready to go. I don't know where that thought came from, but I didn't say anything. And then a week or two later, he falls and has a major accident, hurts himself, and they rush him to the hospital, and he's practically dead. And my mother called me crying and saying, you know, our cousin is, and I said, I know he's been wanting to go and it's time for him to go, which I don't know where that came from either. And my mother said, stop that. What are you talking like that for? That's not right. That's not Catholicism. That's not what, you know, Dan, for the radio audience, Danian is rolling his eyes. And so my mother said, if you keep talking like that, I'm just going to, you know, hang up the phone because I don't want to hear that. And so later on, we talked again, and she says, you know, they're trying everything they can. And I said, they should just let him go. It's the most humane thing to do. She says, there you go again, blah, blah, blah. All this to say is they saved him for a few months.
70 cents of every dollar.
Right. And I was thinking that while you said that. But the thing was, is he went through so much pain and agony. And finally, after 3 months of this, the family started saying, including my mother, who forgot what I said, saying, the good Lord should take him. That would be the best thing. And I thought, that was arranged 3 months ago. What were we doing?
Selfishness, doubt, disbelief, and not trusting in their conversational relationship with the divine. Mm. Remember this. As you enter this sphere of spirituality, two things are occurring. When you become comfortable with the radio show, when you become comfortable with putting the information out that your audience makes a decision, the divine hears that. Mm. And it's a certain amount of appreciation. The universe seeks gratitude. They want to be appreciated for being a part of your life. I used to think it was the universe was a little insecure. Mm. Okay? Why would you want me to be thankful for you? When I realized that the universe was just reflecting back to me what I really needed to be reinforced. But watch this. When you take a jackass, meaner than hell, and a person who didn't care, didn't believe any of that stuff, thought that power was how hard I could hit you and how much damage I could do was the way you expressed yourself. And you see the heavens. You see a world where your life passes before you and you see such magnificent opportunities. The first thing you'll think is, what in the why did I come to this world? Mm. Okay, but the next thing that you really have to do is you have to become a religious authority.
Come again?
You have to become a religious authority. You have to study every religion. You have to understand why people got so crazy, like your mother.
Okay. I hope she's not listening.
Well, if she is, it's still honest. When you start looking at Catholicism, and I trust everybody can have their own way of believing, but I've been around a lot of Catholics. That's a scary bunch of people.
Okay.
It's scary. Because first, if they really believe that there is a God and life is structured on sin and he's fallen, he's hurt himself, and you sensed it and perceived it because this is that galactic period, the Mayan 2012 transitorial Piscean to the Aquarian age, This is now a proven scientific fact that we're going through this galactic change. People's consciousness is awakening. People are losing fear and embracing these things. The thing that you opened with, if 96 million people would focus on peace as opposed to battle in a football game, or a billion people as in the World Cup, we would find a reason to make war unthinkable. And I'm not saying to stop war, because that'd be stupid, but to make it unthinkable. Mm. That means there's the absolute total last resort on either side to become. I started looking at religions. I started looking at where people came with these thought patterns and where these thought patterns evolved. Look at hell as we know it. Hell as you listen to it, as you hear it in fundamentalists, you hear it in Catholicism. I mean, you think about it. Clement II read the Inferno by Dante.
Yeah, Dante's Inferno, right.
And right then he established that as the criteria for the paintings of the Renaissance that we now define as hell. If you look at hell before that, it's mentioned 8 times in the Bible. Okay? That's all it's mentioned. And it's some burning pit that Jesus is going to come down with the army and he's going to throw Satan in it. Okay. And he's going to burn forever. Didn't throw anybody else in it. Okay? But 3 of the times in the Bible that they're talking about hell, it's talking about a pit where trash is being burned. So I started looking at it. So I went to the Middle East. Everybody there knows the story. They were Berbers, Bedouins. They were nomads. And they would travel through the seasons to certain places. And they would all dig ditches and put all the garbage in and cover it up. So when they would come back to that same place, they didn't know about methane. That they would uncover the pits that they had buried in. It was still on fire. And they would shovel out the coals, and that's where they began their fire with. But through each of the pilgrimages, the mothers and the grandmothers would tell their children they're going to throw them in the eternally burning pit if they didn't straighten up and act up as nomadic people. Everybody over there knows that story. And then when you start to consciously put it into place today, you realize that. So I had to take a look at this, and I had to try to understand it, because none of that stuff's over there.
That's interesting.
None of that stuff is over there. None of it. But here's the greatest part about this experience. When you lift out of your body and you see that this world is absolutely an illusion, and we quantitatively understand now based on physics that became nuclear physics, that became quantitative physics, that became theoretical mechanical physics, that they're really, it's all an illusion. There is nothing solid or real. Well, when you lift out of your body, you realize that right off the bat. I mean, you lift out of it. Then you will move down a tunnel and come into a place of bright, brilliant, beautiful light. And then you're met by a being of light. Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad, Allah, all these names that people give it. That being of light that you're met by is you. The 96% that never left heaven. And what it does is it takes off the glove that it put on his hand that it occupied this 5%. You meet you, and you bold with you. But the coolest part about it...
And that's pretty cool already.
It's pretty cool to me, because it's why I'm funny. What are they going to do, kill me? Well, big deal. Oh, God, how what a horrifying thought, you know? But you never left anywhere. How could you leave, and this is one of my jokes, how could you leave eternity? How could you have an angel, the greatest, most powerful angel, Lord Lucifer, the morning star, the right hand of God, and how can he get mad because God liked you a little more than him? And he goes somewhere and invents a place called hell. Mm-hmm. Well, where in the hell could hell be? Okay? And now, who is Lucifer to us now? Satan, Beelzebub, the devil, evil, damnatory. And now we have the greatest archangel of all time. And he's a little guy with little hoof feet. Mm. He's got a tail. He's red. He's got horns. And he walks around with a pitchfork. Mm. Whoever could take an angel that's that magnificent and reduce it down to that needs psychiatric help.
Wow.
The greatest of all angels is now a little thing with hoof feet. And that came from Pan. It was Greek mythology. And when the Romans began to take over and Justinian began to occupy and take the pagan positional rituals, and Pan plays the flute and doing fertility, and he has little goat feet and played, and this is a harp, and he was fertility used by the pagans. We had to take that, and now because of the Romans and Justinian and the Edict of Nicaea and the Milan Code in 348, we now have a picture of the devil based on it being Pan because people didn't like sex and sex became a sin.
You did study religions, didn't you?
It was in 72 virgins I was most interested in.
And that isn't true either, right?
I didn't see any. But here's what's really true. You will see your whole life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama. You have missed absolutely nothing in your life. You know how many hairs was in the nose of the doctor who pulled you from your mother? Mm. You know, every label, every event, you feel it all. Then you watch it from a second person point of view as if you were your best friend. Watching what you do. Whoa, Felipe, that was pretty smart. Man, what in the world were you thinking when you thought that? Mm. And you get to look at your choices. Mm. No one makes a bad choice. We just don't always make the right one. But you get a chance to see how close. And then you literally become every person that you ever encounter. And you feel the direct results of your interaction between you and that person.
Right now, that sounds scarier than anything else you said.
Wait a minute.
No?
How many times did you smile?
Oh, okay.
How many times did you say hello? How many times did you open the door? It's just little tiny things. Mm. It's just little tiny things that you do that you never get credit for because you do them from your heart. Mm. It's the things that the structural dynamic and the psychological viewpoint that's created based on sin and damnation that people are measuring their validity on. And you're going to be every person that you ever encounter, and you're going to feel the direct results of your interaction between you and that person. Number one, nobody gets away with anything. If you hurt me, you're going to feel the pain that you created. Number two, forgiveness becomes a power. Because if I can forgive them because I know the system will handle it, I am not carrying that load, that anger, or that self pity, or that place that I hold against myself, or that inferiority. And number three, I'm going to realize that the universe is fair, just, and balanced.
Mm.
And then the system of judgment. People think there's some book. There is your Akashic record. Okay? I can access it because the universe knows I mean no harm. But then there is that record, okay? But who judges you? Who knows more about you than you? And if you've seen your entire life pass before you and you've watched it from a second person point of view, an observational point, and you've become every person you've ever encountered, you judge you. What's the system of judgment?
What is the system of judgment?
If God couldn't come today and God sent you, in the life you just reviewed, what difference did God make? You come to learn and practice to be a co-creator. So my first near-death experience and my first panoramic life review, it was horrible. I mean, I had maybe one or two. I might have been nice to one person. But the rest of it was brutalizing, vicious, horrible. But the next two have done pretty good. But let's say today, I'm going to be those veterans who had no one come to see them. Mm. I'm going to be that person that was holding that person's hands, frightened and terrified. I'm going to be the difference that God makes in their life when they have nobody but fear.
Wow.
And anybody that's ever served in combat, the president can say it's okay. The Pope, the priest can give them absolution. The preacher can come and talk about Jesus is going to save them. But it's between them and what they know they did in combat and how they punished themselves with no one to talk about. I'm going to be the difference God makes in their life. Why? Mm. I know what's next. I can take it. Once you frame your life in the panoramic life of you, you have gripped and begun to truly understand who you are, how do you live your life, what the purpose of your life is, once you've done that. And then my final point, it's never what you do, it's why you do it. So intention becomes the biggest reason. It's the intention of why you do something. And I'm very, very focused about why I do anything. Because it's why I'm doing it that's going to make the difference in the ability for the universal consciousness, the intelligent design or the intelligent consciousness that most people call God, to choose to get involved with what I'm doing.
Mm.
Because if it sees that what I want to do and my intention is to achieve that goal, it will get involved in helping me achieve the goal because it's not really interested in what I'm doing. It's interested in why I'm doing it so that it can use me as an instrument to move divinity into this world of material.
Mm.
And that's its goal.
Well, I hope that's not your final point. I hope that you have many, many, many more points, and I know actually that's true. And as a matter of fact, if you like what you're hearing and seeing, Danyon Brinkley will be live at the Conscious Life Expo this Saturday, actually. Is that the 13th?
I think I'm on Sunday, though.
You are on Sunday, and that is the 13th, because Valentine's Day is the 14th. So 2 p.m. on Sunday at the LAX Hilton at the Conscious Life Expo, and to learn...
Tell them what I'm going to tell them.
Let me tell you what he's going to tell you. Remember who you are. Discover your purpose on Earth. Create more conscious and loving relationships. Develop greater intuition. Connect with the spirit realm. Prepare for the Earth changes ahead. Understand the destiny of all divinity. I wish we had 4 more hours so we could be talking about all this. That'll be this Sunday, the 13th at 2 p.m. at the LAX Hilton. And to learn more about that, go to consciouslifeexpo.com. Of course, you could always learn more about Danyon at danyon.com. And that's danyon.com. Now, actually, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll have a couple more minutes to talk about you and your wife's book and the Brigade right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network.
It's
a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes, life coaching, and a private consultation with us, a corporate event appearance, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network. With your host, Filippo Voltaggio, you can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Barnett Bain, Marielle Hemingway, David Wilcock, and April Crawford channeling Veronica at our archive on our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
I'm sitting here laughing and enjoying the company of Danyon Brinkley, who has been saying some very funny things while we were off the air. I want to remind everybody to go to danyon.com, and that's danyon.com, to learn more about Danyon and to learn more about his work. And actually, it's interesting because one of the things he was just sharing with me is when he speaks about those points that I mentioned before the break
Danyon actually demonstrates what he means by all of that. So,
especially the one about connecting to your intuitive nature and the purpose of the divine. Pretty remarkable stuff happens. You know, and people, a lot of times you can hear the conversation, Philippa, but until you actually see it demonstrated before your very eyes, you don't really believe that you're capable of achieving the goal. Mm. Well, if I can do it, you can do it. And if you see it happen in a program, then I need it to inspire you to be more like you really are, as opposed to whoever created you to believe that you weren't what really are.
Wow. Well, I've seen you speak, and you're so dynamic, and you get the crowd going and believing in themselves. Actually, that's a really good way of putting it. So we just have a couple more minutes left, but please tell us about The Brigade and the book that you and your wife wrote together.
Okay, The Twilight Brigade is an organization that I took the near-death experience and created a way that people could lose the fear of death, honor those who served this country and gave them freedom, as well as help people go to the other side. The Twilight Brigade is on both sides of the veil. Mm. The people who are here, we are training. We have a training this week. This the last of this month in February. You can go to The Twilight Brigade and see it. Good. Or you can go to Danyon.com and look up The Twilight Brigade, and you can go there, and you can become a part. What happens is that you get to be connected with beings on this side of the veil, but also beings on the other side of the veil, because there's a lot of guys who never let themselves go down that tunnel to get to that light because they don't feel like they deserve it because of what they did in war. And then number two, Kat and I wrote Saved by the Light, which was a story. At Peace in the Light was me getting comfortable with what I had learned. Mm. If someone looks at Saved by the Light, they see the boxes of knowledge and see that those beings that gave me that insight into what became the future, they haven't missed one. Second, where I said medicine would go and where science would come, and that the battle for the souls of men would be fought in healthcare, and the very moment that that occurred, you knew the shift was in place. Mm. That's today. Mm. Then I wrote The Secrets of the Light with Kat. Kat has a heartfelt, beautiful place. She also makes me appear to be a lot smarter than I am. But she knows and understands, and this book gives you a guide of how to look at yourself in The Secrets, how to take an issue and a problem that you have, and how to frame it in those seven truths and see your way out of it. Mm. I recommend it, and we're writing a new book at the present called 10 Things You Need to Know Before You Go.
Oh, that's great. And actually, the book that that you wrote with Catherine, you call her Kat, but Catherine. We know her as Catherine. I'm not correcting you. I'm just letting the audience know.
Secrets of the Light on Amazon.
And Lessons from Heaven. And it's the kind of book that you just open up and you can read a lesson for the day kind of thing and have it carry you through.
What people, if you take it and you use one of the lessons and it's in three short pieces, what people have to learn, Philippa, and I'll do this quick. You have to learn to attach to your spiritual self as a value of each day. Mm. If you have something that you focus on during the day, that's an affirmation that is in the book. You focus on that affirmation and still you live your regular life. At the end of the day, you go back to the original affirmation and you compare and you compare your life to what happened during that day to see how close you stayed to the event. And then all of a sudden, half of your life, the spiritual side of you, has a focal point. And then you can live the rest of your life and the rest of your parts. What I need for people to do is lose fear. I need them to empower who they are because they were sent here to be divine instruments to bring a divine focus onto this planet. We're failing. We're failing. And we need some more of that oxygen. It's that you didn't put enough ionization. You didn't listen to the commercial and you didn't put enough ionization in that war.
I was worried about the way I look, and I said, he's not going to care now. I could be coughing through the interview, and you just don't care. Isn't that wonderful?
That's because it's love. It's love.
I've never done this before.
Well, hey, it happens to everybody. But remember this. I'm very proud of what you're doing.
Thank you.
And as you're growing spiritually, And as you're putting this information out, it gives people an opportunity to be brave. Don't sit around and wait for something else to come to frighten you. Come get this information. Hmm. Come to the Conscious Life Expo this weekend.
Yes.
Spend your little $20. Come in and experience. Meet like-minded people. Get involved. Create community. And let's take what's wrong with ourselves and correct it. Then let's take collectively what's wrong with the world we're living in, engage it, embrace it, and change it. And this is the only way to really do it. So I'm really thankful that you look really good, unshaved. You cough exquisitely.
You are so funny. I am so grateful to have had you and this moment together. We've been talking to Danion Brinkley. Go to Danion, DANNION.com to learn more about him, or, of course, LifeChangesWithFilippo.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, Mark, are you there? Today's show could have been called, instead of Life Changes with Filippo, Death Changes with Filippo. What do you think?
I think you're right. It's a whole different perspective.
Man.
Well, what did he think of it?
Hey, Mark, Danion wants to know what you thought of it.
I think you both look great.
And he can't even see us. He's right, though.
I think it was a wonderful discussion. Your perspective, the gift that of the learning and the experiences that you have had, that you're able to bring to others, and the sincerity and the certainty that you speak with is certainly felt, and is so wonderful to hear.
Wait, you see me come Sunday and watch me read minds.
Actually, you two have met, and you all can talk about that later at the U.S. Mastery.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Eric and Doug.
Yeah, Mark LeJour.
Oh, hey, Mark.
How are you, Danny?
Hi, boy.
This is old home week here.
No, Mark's fabulous.
Mark is fabulous. And he looks fabulous, too, even though we can't see him.
Well, you don't look as good as Felipe.
Well, actually,
no one does.
That's our show for today. I, of course, thank our guest, Danion Brinkley, and I want to thank Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark LeJour and Mark Greger for producing the show.
And Peggy and her husband.
And yes, and Peggy O'Neill and her husband for opening up her home and allowing this to happen, and for the wonderful smell of food that's cooking for us to enjoy in just a moment. I had no idea she was such a great cook. I can smell it from here. So with that, thank you, Peggy, and thank you all for joining us and being the change you all wish to see, and we all wish to see, in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.